Hello and welcome to this episode of the Corporate Escapers TV show and podcast. I'm your host, Christina Ness, and I'm so delighted to have the beautiful Beck joining us. And you're all the way on the other side of Australia, so I know that it's probably really early for you. So thank you so much for getting up early to join us today, beautiful.
Thank you. It's so lovely to be here today.
Yeah, amazing. Like, I look, you have a wealth of knowledge. We have had a couple of chats before. Can I just say that you're an amazing networker? So thank you so much for the connections too. But before I get carried away, I would love for you to introduce yourself to our audience.
Perfect. So I go by Rebecca or Beck. I don't really mind. So my business name is Time to Leap. And essentially, my space that I help, I'm a digital consultant and an advisor. And what I do is mostly play in the digital space, so helping founders to launch their products. So if they're building specifically a software product or a website or something like that, I help them with various stages of that. It can be the validation of the idea. It can be the go-to-market strategy, or if they've already got a product out to market, helping them scale and grow. And there's a lot around sales and business development in that as well.
Yeah. And I love the name because I think so many of us have ideas, but to take the leap, like to be able to do it, first of all, it takes so much courage for people to do that. But then we go, oh yeah, this will be easy. I'll just go ahead and do it. But we forget the mechanics and all of that behind it to actually get a business off the ground.
Absolutely. There's so much that goes into business, as most of the listeners that are in business or going into business would know about. There is just stuff behind the scenes that people don't realize that they don't have a business.
Yeah. And what's some of the things that you see, when people come to you? Is it almost like hands up, I surrender, like just please help me? You're like, I've had those moments myself.
It depends. I mean, and mostly because I'm in the digital space, there is the similar needs that I see. I do work with quite a lot of technical people, so they maybe are great at their product and they understand the technical aspects, but the user side or the customer side is where they need that help, because technically the product is incredible. But you have to obviously get that out to the people that are going to use the product. So often that's where I play in that space quite a lot. Or I do obviously work with those founders that are launching a product for the first time, and they're a little bit lost with how to go about that. So they just don't know how to get started. How do they pick a developer, a software developer? So all of those sort of areas. So it just depends. They're various stages of the journey. And then, like I said, the existing businesses that are looking to scale and grow and they need more customers. So it's building strategies around that as well. So
Yeah.
I do step in at various stages. They all have different pain points, but the one thing I see over and over again, it is about the customer, or as we say in technology, users. So how do we get that product into the hands of users? They've all got the same issues in the validation. They're just needing to validate who they are. But when they're launching and also existing businesses, it's the same thing. How can I get that out to more people? How can I scale my business, grow my business?
Yeah. I love
Similar
how you,
issues.
yeah, I love how you are, we talk about like terminology, because I think regardless whether or not you're tech or, any of that, we do sometimes have the ability to, and it happened a lot, especially in my corporate career, we talk these tech terms and a lot of people don't understand it. So it's almost trying to teach people a different language, but also to sort of come to some sort of common ground, how everyone can really understand everything, and encompass it all together.
100%, because it's daunting. So if you've got a founder that's coming in and they've got this great product idea and they're going to build it, it's often that daunting to go down the technology path for a start, and also all that terminology that if they're non-technical, it's just a minefield, and something I had to learn myself when I went into the industry, because I had no idea as well. So I get it. I've been in their shoes in a different way. So it's like demystifying that really technical language. and making it easy for people to understand, and it's not as daunting as it could be. And that's the whole idea, to just make it easier.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, when we talk about, regardless of what product and all that it is a lot of it about the language and how the end user, whether, that's your client, and it's going out to market, or whether or not it's your staff that are using it, they're the ones that have to use it. They're the ones that you've got to be able to, I guess, get the concept and also how to use the product as well out to them as, and so there's a lot of different, mechanisms behind that.
There's so much, and I think that it's your technical product has to be incredible, absolutely. But in order to succeed, it is about the users, it's about the customers and how they're going to use your product. Can't really stress that enough, I think. And that's just such an important side, because if you don't have your customers or users, you don't have a successful product. So it all comes down to them in the end.
And you work a lot with, trying to, I guess, make sure that there's like a good fit, between different, areas within different businesses. So, if you're looking at, a website developer or, I'm not even going to use the right technical terms myself,
That's
but you get a
fine.
bit like, to try and work out who's going to be a good fit. And I really love that because I think we sometimes go, oh, I just want the best. But yes, the best might be great, but they may not understand your business as well and what you're trying to portray and what you're trying to put out to market.
Definitely, it's so key to pick the right developer. If you, most will go down that path of obviously needing somebody to develop their product for them, whether it's a high-end website or an app or a platform or anything like that. That developer is going to be really key to your success. And obviously, it's a very much a collaboration and partnership as well. So it is finding that right fit. And that is quite a challenge sometimes, because there's so many options out there. But I think it's resonating with that developer that you can trust. And yes, you have to build that trust. And also one that actually understands or gets to know and understand your business, which is really important, because they're an arm of your business essentially, because they are building your product, they're there. And obviously, as you develop your product more and more, you're going to have that developer there with you. So they are an arm of your business. It's incredibly important that they are the right fit. And I think any founders that are going through that process, definitely interview a couple and see who gets your business or who wants to learn more about your business, and they're going to be the better fit for you.
And I love that. I think like every business owner needs to apply that strategy to every, like we outsource so much. Like it could be your accountant, it could be a virtual assistant, it could be just someone, even a printer, making sure that you interview them to see whether or not they are a good fit. I think it's one step that so many business owners, they look at costings, but then sometimes the cost may cost you, it may cost you even more because they're not the right fit for that provider.
Absolutely, it is the best fit. And just in development is there's so many different ways that you can develop an app, for example, or a platform or a high-end website. It is finding that right fit, and usually you're going to find a developer probably in the middle somewhere, maybe not the cheapest, maybe not the most expensive, but the one that gets that bit your business, wants to work with you in your business and create that product together. That's going to be obviously the better fit for the business owner, founder. Yes, really, really important.
What are some of the questions that people should be asking, when they're talking to developers? If it like it, for me, like I have a basic knowledge of tech, but there's so many things. Like I was talking to somebody about SEO and all of that. I'm like going, look, I understand it, but I don't fully get what the impact it's going to have as well. So what are some of the questions that people could ask when working with different developers?
Well, you mean more in the initial stages when they're trying to interview and trying to find the best fit for them? Well, it's really just getting to know them, because some developers will be more money driven some of them will be. Some of them will be like more product driven. So I think you want to be looking and asking questions around the product driven developers just to see how they can help you and how they can understand. So asking them lots of questions, like you've done, this would be clients that have already done their market research to a certain point. So they know who their users are, they have an understanding of what they're looking to build. So that is obviously key to have enough of that information before going to a developer. And then they'll be asking questions like, what is the process? How does the development look like? What are we doing? So I could tell you what that is basically anyway, but asking questions about, well, how long is this development? A good developer also will, if you're in the early stages of building a product and it's in the early days, we call it a minimal viable product, so MVP. So often a developer will do that, so you're not having to build the whole product at the start. So asking that question, if you are in those early stages, I'm looking at a minimal viable product, what would that look like? So you're building the basic product to start with. That's not in every case, but if you are in an early stage founder and you are a startup especially, then minimal viable product is usually always the way to go. Or sometimes if you need to validate more your existing business. So it depends on your product, but that one is always a good one to ask. Also, just finding out their process. And also you want to know, are you developing here onshore, for example? So if you're in Australia, asking the question, if you're developing offshore, there's nothing wrong with either or, but just so you know where your developing's been done, where your product's going to be hosted as well, which is a really good question to ask, especially if you are in somewhere like finance, for example, you need to know where your hosting is. It's really important. And really just that process. What does that look like? How's the process going to work? What's the timeline going to look like? And obviously, how do you work as a team? So a lot of developers will work in what they call an agile environment. So asking how their agile methodology or their different methodology would be, so how they're basically working, they would be the main questions. And obviously just to get a feel for their case studies, so asking them what have they done before, is there any social proof that they can share with you? Because you're interviewing them, they're interviewing you really, just to find, and if you have something, very complex, which most of the time the people probably on here don't, you might have to have a specialist developer for that. But the general run of the mill, most developers, web developers, app developers can support most sort of tools, essentially. Yeah, there's quite a lot. Really just
No, I
interview
think
them.
it's great. I think it's really important that people, do take the time because yeah, obviously they're developing a product for you, but you're going to be working so closely with them. So you really do want to get to know them. See, I think personality, like, do they you can communicate the same way? Because like I love to jump on Zoom, but if somebody wants something always in email, I would struggle with that because I'd rather just jump on Zoom. Here you go, let's record it. And then, like, here's a quick summary of it. I mean, I know that's how I work, but there are different people that they just want to know how somebody else's work or, how the information is going to be needed or sent to them as well.
Definitely. And I mean, with developers, it depends on a development, but most of the ones that I know, and when I worked for a software developer, because we worked in the agile environment. So essentially, what that means is for everybody, when you're developing a product, you work in, they call a 2-week sprint. So the developers will do a 2-week sprint. And then at the end of that 2-week sprint, the client customer will get an update of where they're at after that 2 weeks. Then they plan the next sprint and they do that next 2 weeks. So it's a really good way because it's chunked down into what the teams need to do, but also the founder or the business will know every 2 weeks, this is what we've done. So you could have fortnightly or monthly meetings with your developer. It depends on the structure and what you need. But at least you know every 2 weeks you're going to have that update and know where they're at, how they are, how far they've got, is there anything else they need to pivot or change? And that just allows you to work with the client really quite closely. And it just makes things easier. Majority that I know work in that way. Sometimes I might work in a bit of a different way too.
And also, having that sort of, I guess, like a timeline of going, okay, well, I know like where we're at. It's not just sitting there like going, oh my God, I hope they're gonna call, or all that sort of stuff. Like knowing those deadlines or those timelines for them when working with them, I think that is really essential, because that also helps the business owner with the product launch as well.
Exactly, because often if you're in development, it honestly depends on how much you're developing, but you're having to think about that quite early on in your development journey, thinking, well, okay, I'm going to have this product out in so many months, just depends. So how am I actually going to get that product out? What is my product launch look like? Do I have a social media following? Have I needing to start that? So there's actually quite a lot to think about. So it's not just like, oh, I'm developing and I'll launch at the end. You've actually really got to be thinking about that. Well, ideally from the start, but obviously at least a couple of more months before you launch, just to have that customer base, an idea of what you're doing and also how you're going to launch. So that when you do launch and your product's ready, you do have those engaged users or customers ready to go or to test it for you, because some will do some testing with potential customers. It honestly depends on how your launch looks like, because every business is different. But just having your idea out there, your product out there, and sharing that with people at least beforehand, so you can launch with ease. Obviously, there's a lot more that goes into that. That's just high level, but you've got to market yourself essentially and be ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's the sort of the process like when people are working with you? So we've talked a lot about like the developers, but what's the process like when they, somebody comes to work with you?
It honestly depends where what stage they're at, because I kind of can step in at any stage or I can be along with them for the whole journey. So I do work quite a lot with the like they're in development, they're launching. So that I probably work more in that space. I do obviously have relationships with some developers as well, so that helps. So what that looks like is the customer or founder or business owner is launching. So I will build that go-to-market strategy with them. So it's really important there is a strategy for the human side, so the user and customer side. So we build that together. And we even do things like mission and vision for your actual product, because you would have your mission and vision for your business, but what about the product? So it's all around the product, mission and vision, who's the users in more detail. We build customer avatar for that product. We build a sales plan. What's that sales plan going to look like? How's the business development aspects? Are we going to build strategic partnerships, which usually is a good way to go? Who's already got your customers, users there? It's a very high-level document, essentially. It's a go-to-market slash business development plan for your product per se. So we build that strategy and then we do that implementation. So it depends on where I'm at. If I'm consulting, then obviously I'm working with them to do the work. If I'm advising them, I'll advise them how to do that, provide templates, all that sort of thing. And then we obviously want to work on the customer journey. So how are they going to come in basically and know about your product? What's the journey we're going to take them on through that launch process? Is it a webinar, for example, that we're going to be doing? Is it a softer launch? There's so obviously so many different ways. So working with a business owner or founder with what they need and what their market needs. So everything is customized. And obviously, if I'm consulting with them, I help them with that implementation. So helping them set that up. So that space is where I've played in the most, because it's one of the very, very key to getting the product successful. But obviously, like I mentioned at the start, I can work at the very beginning stages of market validation before they even go to a developer. And then obviously the existing product that's already been out for a little while, and they need that traction. And I know that is an area that's in great need, because if you didn't do that plan, that go-to-market plan, for example, will be business development and how that looks like. Often when you are a bit further along, if you don't have something like that in place, you're kind of just going and just trying to do your best, and it's like, well, let's stop, let's actually build that plan about around that. And it is very focused on your sales, business development, marketing, and how you're actually showing up, and then building that strategic partnership. So it's not all that much different to the go-to-market strategy, really, but it's just something that's like, the product's already out there, we've already got some customers, already got some traction in the market, but how can we take that to the next level? So it just means I can come in and work with what they have and build on that, essentially. And so what I do is very customized with the business in mind, and their product, their market. It doesn't actually matter which market they're in, because there's similar process. And then we just work out who we're targeting or helping, really. And that's the most important thing.
I love it how you, obviously there's so many different facets with it, but the one thing that I absolutely love is that you do like a mission and vision for that individual product and service. And I think if anyone listening, if you just remember that, like for every product and service that you put out there, you should have a mission and vision for the impact or, you know, the clientele that you're actually wanting to, you know, attract with that, because that can be completely different. Or maybe more segmented, you know, to your current business as well.
Definitely, because it's its own it's its own thing, really. So it's making that. And I mean, if you want to build like a technology product, for example, there's a reason behind that. There's a reason why you decided to build that product, or the reason why that product was with you, essentially. That's why it was your idea. So it's got to have its own identity. I think that's how I look at it. So having its own mission and vision, and why, your why as well. Like, why did you decide to build this product? What is the reason behind that? And that just makes the owner, founder. I say founder because startups founder, business owner, because they could be already a business owner. So either or, but essentially, they just want to know their why. And just like that in business, you have more of an understanding why you want to get that product out there, how you want to help people. And it also helps you with your sales as well, because the reason why you're there is because you want to help people. You built this
Exactly.
product to help people, and the why is there. You're letting your customers know if you're doing demos, for example. If you're doing business development, you're usually often going to be doing demos. That's your why. Share that with them. This is why you're doing this, is how you help. It's just going to help you with your sales, because you're passionate and you love what you do, and you're behind the reason why you built it, to help people. So people see that. Really important.
Look, that's my whole premise for the business is, you know, you have to, as a business owner, you need to share your why, regardless of, you know, what stage you're at, because that's the human connection that is going to separate you from everybody else. So somebody may have the same product or the same service, but you are the one that is completely different. And if you don't allow that to shine, then you are just amongst the field. So for you to have that spotlight, share your why.
100%, because that's why you do what you do, and what's making you different to somebody else that's doing something maybe similar. We're all obviously all unique with what we offer, and we're going to resonate with some people and other people not. So I think that's why the why is really important, because when people connect to that, they're like, actually, I get you. That resonates with me too. And that means it's a good fit, really, for client relationships.
So let's flip this on you. Why did you
Okay.
start your business?
When did I start my business?
Why did you start
Why?
it?
Well, I kind of, my business started for me, so I'm a little bit different. I'd always planned to start a business at some stage, but I had left my corporate job, and I was in working for a custom software developer, which is where my knowledge comes from. And I just thought, well, I'm just going to have a couple of months off. I'll look for another job. And then I had a couple of people that I knew in my network approach me and sort of say, well, I don't need somebody full time. I just need somebody to do some consulting for me. And at that stage, it was more sales and business development related. It wasn't like specifically what I do now. I've obviously moved into that as I've evolved. And I was like, okay, like, why not? Like, let's go. So, sole trader, ABN, had my ABN ready. And that's how I started my business. So, it
Love
was
it.
not really intentionally saying I was going to start a business at this stage.
Yeah.
It was always there and I always knew that's what I was meant to be doing. But it kind of just it happened and I was like, okay, that looks like we're starting a business. I have two clients, let's go. So I'm not a traditional person that had
Yeah.
made that plan. It just happened and I was like, okay, and ran with it really and went on the big learning journey.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the biggest thing that you love about working for yourself?
I love the freedom. So I love the freedom for myself. And I also love being able to work with so many amazing clients. That is the best thing because it's super interesting because of the type of work I do, I am a sole trader, so it's just me and my business. So I get to be part of other businesses because I come along with that journey, a part of that journey with them. So I love that part. I get to meet some amazing people, get to have some amazing clients I get to work with. And I get to learn so much as well about their business and how they run and how they operate. And I just find it really interesting. I love that. I love the variety. So I feel just really incredibly lucky.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And if you could sort of like look back, on your journey in business so far, is there something that you probably would have wanted to learn sooner, or maybe, I don't know, like invest in like a coach or like any of that? Is there anything in particular that you might have wanted to have maybe done a little bit quicker?
I think for me, I didn't realize the magnitude of what you learn as a business owner because I've been in corporate and that's all I ever knew. And I know my area, but to actually do the foundation of the business and learn that, I think that would have been valuable to learn that earlier on and have do that crash course of how to do your accounting and BAS and all of that sort of thing. I didn't really, I've learned as I've gone along and done the best I can. Because when you're a sole trader, you're alone, right? You're learning. But I think for me, if I did it again, I would actually spend a lot more time in that early stage and really learn that foundation of a business so that it wasn't so much a learning curve later on as I got along. That would be the most valuable. And yes, I would do my time again.
Yeah,
Be a bit more
absolutely.
informed about the ins and outs.
Yeah,
Definitely.
definitely. Yeah, no, I totally get that. But then there's sometimes it might have not made me a little bit too scared because I'm like, oh my God, I have to learn all these things. Like, would I even have done it? Yeah, no, I totally agree with you in that aspect. So, how can people find you and, work with you?
So usually from my website, I am probably much more active on LinkedIn. That's probably where the space that I'm mostly posting and connecting with people. So find me on LinkedIn. That's usually the best way, or website. I love just being able to have chats with people. I love connecting with people, referring work and all that sort of thing. So always up for a chat, always would love to connect.
Yeah,
And a
amazing.
YouTube video coming of it, YouTube channel coming shortly. I need to get
Oh,
that off the
so cool, so cool. And like you are an incredible networker. You gave me a really great connection, which is fantastic. So thank you so much for that. And we're going to pop all the details of where people can reach out to you below. So if you've got any questions, if you're thinking of, designing an app, or you've got a product and you're ready to go, obviously reach out, because I think what you're doing is absolutely amazing, and just love the philosophy behind it all, and really connecting, not only the business owner but also with the end user, and really having that, I call it like a soulful connection, between the two, because you've got to understand both as well. So I think it's amazing what you do.
Oh, thank you. And I love being in this space because it's such technology industry is just booming and it's just like how do we get this product to the people that need that product to help them in their life or in their business or depending on what the product is.
Yeah,
So
it's
it's
not
just
as
a great.
scary. It's not as scary now as what it used to be maybe 5, 10 years ago. Yeah, like there's it's I don't know. I remember my very first website, probably about 15 years ago, when I had a different business. I was just like, oh my goodness, there was no drop and drag. Like you literally had to pay someone to do it. So there's a lot of big changes that have happened.
It is. It's getting simpler for people, which is great. Obviously, the app space is still very complex, and it never will not be. But yeah, definitely the website space. It's accessible to everybody now, depending on where you are in your business journey, which I think is fantastic. It just means everybody can work with what they have or at what point they're at as well.
Well, I absolutely love what you're doing. But before you go, I've got five questions that I've been asking people so that we can get to know you on a little bit more of a personal note. So,
Okay.
the first question, are you a tea or coffee person in the morning?
Tea for sure.
Oh, nice, nice. Do you prefer the beach or the country?
Ooh. Oh, I like both. Probably the country, to be honest.
And would you prefer to curl up and watch a movie or to read a book?
Read a book.
I think now as winter's coming, like I would, like I prefer just to snuggle up in bed with a book. So yeah, definitely. If you're going on a holiday, would you prefer to travel by boat or plane?
Definitely plane. I don't like boats.
Amazing. And if you were to have a dinner party and you could invite one person from the past or even from the present, who would that be?
Probably invite my nan, that's obviously no longer with us. That would be amazing to have her at the dinner table.
Oh, that would be beautiful. Well, thank you so much for sharing your gifts with us. Where, as I said, we're going to pop all the details on how people can reach out to you. I think what you're doing is absolutely amazing. And can't wait to see what is next for you. So thank you for being here.
I really thank you. Thank you for the time, and it was really lovely to talk to you today.
My pleasure. And for those who are watching, to remember to live life to the fullest and to follow your dreams. Love and light to you all.